pastor of Luke Fada Baptist Church in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And so it is a pleasure to be with you all this evening. I'll be preaching over in Shelbyville at Victorious Life over the next couple of days for Brother Richard Hibner. He and I, we go back quite a number of years together, having served together in Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and just we've known each other for a number of years. And so it is a privilege to be able to be with you this evening, and I bring you greetings in that name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. And I was asking about the order services earlier, and I believe I got it on pretty good authority that on Sunday evenings it's about 10 minutes of preaching is what I was told. And Baptists are the same wherever you go. So I was telling my folks Wednesday night, I have been teaching on Wednesday night since January through the book of Jonah. And there were some things about chapter 1, verse number 17, I wanted to bring out. And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to take care of. I said, I can do it one of two ways. I said, I can either run through it really fast and have a short message, or we can spread this out over a couple of messages. And I said, so I'm going to have some mercy on you. We're just going to go short. And well, wouldn't you know it, as I got to teaching and preaching, it got to going on. And, well, we weren't short. And I had one of my men meet me at the back door and say, well, I see you still haven't learned how to tell time. Well, absolutely not. But it's good to be with you this morning. Look at me, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 4. You know, if there's one thing in my life and in my ministry that I recognize that I need, and especially in the day and age in which we live, it is this thing called wisdom. Wisdom is something that is in very short supply in the world today, and yet it is of absolute importance. Last year, I took my church through a series on Wednesday evenings of some character studies, and one of the things we looked at was Solomon. And Solomon, he was used of God to pen the book of Proverbs, and he was known as the wisest man that ever lived. And I personally, I love the book of Proverbs. I begin every day in the book of Proverbs, whatever day it is, because I know this, is I need to bring something more to the table than what I have to offer in and of myself. I tell my folks, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I do like to try to color when I get a chance. And so I know that if I'm going to be a help and a blessing in people's lives, that it's going to have to take more than just what I have to offer, that it's going to have to take the mind of God, because this world is getting more confused all the time. There's issues as I pastor that I would have never even dreamed that I would have had to been having to give an answer and to give some help and some counsel, and not only to reprove and rebuke, but also to exhort, to take those that have been bruised and broken and scarred by sin, and to lead them to the cross and lead them to some answers, but to balance not only the truth, but also to balance that with some grace. And so it takes wisdom above what I can bring to the table. And so I am dependent upon that this evening. If you're going to be a parent, a grandparent, if you're going to be a good employee, whatever it might be, wisdom is an indispensable thing. So look with me, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read down verses 1 through 13 this evening. I want to show you about three things concerning Solomon and his approach towards wisdom. The Bible says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." And let's pray this evening. Father, we're very grateful tonight to be assembled together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do thank you today for these saints of God that have come out on a Sunday night for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I don't take it lightly tonight covering the pulpit of Brother Nichols. I'd ask that you would give him traveling mercies. And Lord, I pray that you would help him as he goes to be a comfort and to be with a family during this time and season of life that is always difficult. Lord, even in a believer's life, it's a difficult thing. But Father, I'm glad today that you're a God of grace and of mercy. And Lord, I pray you'd extend that even now. I pray that, Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, that you would help us. Lord, for the brief time in which, Lord, you seem fit to have our paths crossed, Lord, I'd ask that you would enable me, Lord, to impart something this evening that, Lord, would have a lasting impact and, Lord, be of a lasting help and an encouragement along the way. And so, Father, it is my heart's desire tonight to be a blessing here to Victory Baptist Church. And so, Lord, I just simply ask, could I just be a willing instrument in thy hand? And, Lord, I'd ask tonight that you'd see fit to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Word of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Notice with me, if you would, this evening, Solomon and his approach towards wisdom. First of all, notice how Solomon, along the way, he learned that wisdom, and by the way, when we're speaking of wisdom tonight, that there is a distinction in the world of God between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I am assuming that you know that this evening, but that wisdom that is sensual and devilish, that which is of the world, that just is what we would sometimes call horse sense or something of that nature, that's not what we're speaking of when we're dealing with wisdom here in the Word of God. We're talking about taking godly principles and applying them into life, to be able to put, as it were, feet to truth, and to be able to take the principles and the precepts of the Word of God and make accurate assessment of situations, and therefore to have an accurate game plan, as it were. But Solomon, number one, he learned that wisdom, it is a priority. Notice verse number 7. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, let me just submit to you this evening that it is absolutely necessary for you and I, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be known as a people of wisdom. And far too often it has seemed that Christians are viewed as being very foolish in this world. And yet the Bible stresses the importance of wisdom, of taking that knowledge which God has delivered unto us by His Word, and He imparts to us by the Spirit of truth, bringing to knowledge everything whatsoever He has taught, and boy, beginning to put it into practice. And so Solomon learned that priority number one, as it were, in his life was to seek after this thing of wisdom. And there are several reasons that he gives here in this chapter of why wisdom was such a priority in his life. Number one, he dealt with the value of wisdom. That wisdom, of the wisdom of God in a man or a woman's life, it is of an exquisite value. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, speaking of wisdom, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. In other words, he said that this is the crowning jewel on a man's head to have an intimate knowledge, not only of God, but to be able to take that knowledge and to put it into practice, that which we would call wisdom. And boy, he says that it is of an exquisite value. It's as though a crown has been placed upon a person's head. And you look elsewhere in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15, and you find that when it comes to the wisdom of God, that you can't even begin to put a price tag on it. He said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. And so Solomon is dealing with the exquisite value of wisdom, that wisdom, it is a very precious commodity, and it's because, as I mentioned earlier, it's in very limited supply. And so you and I as believers, as we are given some choices in this world of whether it be money in the bank or the wisdom of God in the heart, that it should be a no-brainer for us to seek after the wisdom of God. You know, any fool can get rich, but as I believe as poor Richard said, a fool and his money are soon departed. And riches, they make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven, the book of Proverbs says. And all I can say is, amen, I've watched it fly. But wisdom, it's an invaluable resource. The wise have a supreme value. You know, a wise person knows how to be a comforter to somebody that's brokenhearted. I look back upon my life and I look at times when I've just gone through some very heartbreaking situations, and boy, I was so glad that God had seen fit to have some men in my life that were able to speak some words of wisdom to me, to help me to have some perspective about things that were going on around me. So a wise person, boy, they're supreme value because they can speak peace into a broken heart. A wise person is able to reprove the sinner and the backslider. And then, as I was mentioning earlier, as I approached the desire for wisdom for my own personal ministry to pastor Luke Fodden Baptist Church, is to be able to take those that come broken and marred and scarred by sin and not only point out what's wrong, but then to lead on how to get right. So it has an exquisite value. We see wisdom, it's a priority, not only because its value is exquisite, but its domain is exclusive. Look in verses 3 and 4 of chapter number 4. Because here, Solomon, he says, you know, you're not going to just find wisdom anywhere. And so he begins to go to the primary source that he had in his life to begin to obtain this godly wisdom. He said in verse number 3, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." You see, not everybody's going to have wisdom. And so there must be a selection process, as it were, to begin to filter things through. Where do we turn to find it? There is a need, and I'm, as a pastor, let me just say this evening. There is a need in local churches for men and women. Those that may not be behind a pulpit, but you're in the pew. There is a need for godly wisdom to reside within the hearts of God's people. And I can say that as a pastor, I'm very grateful for some folks that I have that are able to be a help and a blessing to others, that are able to come alongside me whenever, for example, this week, whenever I'm gone and I'm 12 hours away from home and a situation occurs and I cannot be there. I need somebody that has some wisdom that can step in and be a help along the way. But there's a need in churches for men and women with God, who are godly and have godly wisdom that can provide real answers to hard questions. And yet, if you and I want wisdom, it's imperative that we spend time at the very fountainhead of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Word of God says this, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Can I say this evening that as a Christian, that you'll only be as wise as the amount of time you spend in the presence of God. There is no gaining the wisdom of God apart from being in the presence of God. They go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. And yet we see that Solomon, early on, he was influenced. And I look around this evening and I've seen the young ones. And by the way, that thrills my heart to see little ones in the house of God. And I appreciate young families that are raising their kids underneath the preaching of the Word of God. Well, notice where Solomon's first influence in godly wisdom was. It was in the home. He said in verse number 3, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." His father, I remind you, is King David, a man that the Holy Ghost of God says in Acts 13 and verse number 22, was a man after God's own heart. And so Solomon said that he was influenced from the very tenderest of ages by a man who sought after God with his heart, a man that even though he failed at times, was a man that, though he was a great sinner at times, was a great repenter, never going back to the same things twice, a man that would get his life right and would get up from the failures and press on for God. No wonder later on God would use Solomon to say this, that a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. And so he was a man that saw wisdom imbued within his father, a man that loved God and taught him from the earliest age to not only crave God's presence, but to crave wisdom given from God. No wonder whenever Solomon, whenever he was first elevated to king and God appeared unto him a dream and said, and let me just paraphrase, he said, "Boy, ask me what you want." He said, "And I'll give it to you." And Solomon just said, "Look, I'm like a little child." He said, "This is a great people. How am I going to lead and how am I going to have the answers unless I have wisdom from you?" Well, where did he learn his need of that? From those years as a child growing up with David on the throne, teaching him of his need of God. And so we find that This man realized that if you're going to find godly wisdom, there's an exclusive domain. It's not just available out on the street. You're not going to just go down to the store and buy a pint of it. You're going to have to seek it out in some specific areas. We also see the expressive nature of wisdom. Look in verse number 11. That wisdom, it likes to do some things. Number one, it likes to teach. He says in verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. You know, wisdom has a way of expressing itself. Because it dwells in the heart, it's looking for the opportunity to come out of the mouth. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Can I just say this evening, and I say this in love, but it won't take long to be around somebody and to listen to what somebody is always talking about to figure out, number one, whether wisdom resides within their heart, and number two, really just what it is that they love. Because we will talk about that which we love. I'll give you an example. You'll meet folks along the way that they love their grandchildren. They'll want to show you all the pictures of their children and everything else, whether you care to see it or not. Oh, look, yes, it's another baby picture. Oh, now they're sitting. Now they're laying down. It's still a baby. But it's important to them. That child has their heart. And so they want to tell you about that. Well, let me just say, I sure enjoy running across people where God has been enthroned upon the heart. And they can't help but talk about what the Lord has taught them through the Word of God. They can't help but talk about how they've seen the hand of God move and how God has given them clarity in the midst of confusion. And so wisdom, it has, first of all, an expressive nature. It likes to teach those lessons which it has already learned. And by the way, let me just say this, that when wisdom resides within the heart of somebody, they're going to seek to impart that wisdom to another person. But wisdom, it not only seeks to teach, but it also seeks to lead. Because he said in verse number 11, I have led thee in right paths. Can I say this evening that our world is in desperate need of true leadership? Now look, I'll just make this comment. I made it to my church beforehand, before elections and after elections. It hasn't changed. But my hope and my confidence has never been in the White House. My hope and my confidence is not in the Congress of the United States. It's not there in the governor's mansion in Oklahoma City. It's not even down at City Hall and in the mayor's office. That as a believer, my confidence is always with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I know that there's always going to be help and hope and security before the throne of God. But I do know this, is that this last year, in a year and a half now, has been one of the most confusing years that any of us has ever lived through. And I looked at my church one evening and I had to tell them I'm very grateful for the patience and the grace that you've shown towards me, because I have yet to read the book, How to Pastor a Church Through a Pandemic. So there were things that we were figuring out along the way. And can I tell you, not everybody was happy with the decisions that were made. There were those that whenever I stood before the church and said, we have a mandate to go forward by faith and not be ruled by a spirit of fear, well, they thought I was going to try to kill every last one of them. And yet at the end of the day, I do believe God gives wisdom in difficult places. And we need leaders, those that have some godly insight, or that speak forth. I believe it was the sons of Issachar, the Bible says over in, I believe it's over in 1 Chronicles, if memory serves me right, around chapter number 12, it said that they were men of understanding that knew what Israel ought to do. We need men like that in the day and age in which we live. So Solomon, along the way, he learned the priority of wisdom. Number two, Solomon learned that wisdom, not only must it be a priority, but then it must be pursued. Look what he said in verse number 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And so we find a couple of things, and I want to try to be very practical. I like practical preaching. That which gives me something that I can incorporate in my life and put into action. But he deals with this godly instruction. He says, number one, it must be reached for. Verse number 5, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. In other words, do what it takes to obtain it. Or, to put it another way, get some education. Learn some things. Now, I don't know about you, but the only thing I wanted in school was out. I hate, amen, I heard that from somebody, praise the Lord. Thought I couldn't have been the only bad student. I hated being in class. To be a teenage boy, just bursting with energy, wanting to be anywhere in the world, looking outside on a beautiful spring day, and a teacher droning on and on and on. I could not get out fast enough. Then God called me to preach. I found out that my education will never stop at this point. And then, funniest thing of all, he gave me a church that's filled with teachers and school administrators. But Solomon said, for the wise man, for that believer that, boy, they're looking for God to give them something above and beyond what others have, that instruction, it has to be reached for. It means that if we are going to be a people of wisdom, number one, can I say that school never quits. We must be continually learning and educating ourselves. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I, as believers, God wants us to be as reservoirs that are filled with living waters. And what that reservoir gets filled up with is designed to be channeled out. But can I tell you, the only way that reservoir remains a blessing is if it's still full. We can't just simply be emptied out and have nothing left in store. Well, we have to be refreshed. We have to seek after wisdom. And there are resources that are available. You know, we live in an amazing age. I realize with all the hazards, and I realize with all the dangers, it's still one of the most amazing ages ever as far as the amount of information that is available. You know, I'll just say this evening that a Christian no longer has any excuse whatsoever not to pursue what amounts to a Bible college education for free. Go online and you can find sermon after sermon after sermon, good Bible commentary after good Bible commentary after good Bible commentary, lectures, books, pamphlets. Man, it's available at the click of a button. But one of the best resources that a believer has is that godly man that stands and delivers the Word of God on a weekly basis. Christian, let me just say this. If you want to be a person of wisdom, learn that it's a good thing to ask questions. In other words, when you hear something preached and you didn't quite grasp it, give your pastor a heart attack. Go ask him, could you help me understand this? Because that's why God gave him to you, is to teach and to admonish and to train. And so with all the resources available, let me just say this. We cannot neglect growth. That as believers, we will either grow in grace or we'll just simply grow stale. We see instruction, it must be reached for, but it also must be received. Look what he said in verse number 5. He said, get understanding. He said, get wisdom, get understanding. That's the reaching for it. But notice the reception. He said, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You see, if we're going to learn anything, first of all, we have to recognize we have a need to learn. Which means along the way, we have to be willing to receive some things. And I say that when God first started working in my heart and in my life and revealing some things about me, that it was a very bitter pill that God swallowed. Because when God saved me, he didn't save me out of a church house. I got saved in the back of a wireline truck out in the oil fields of West Texas. I was a drunk and a drug addict when God saved me. And so let's just say there was a cleaning up process that the Lord began doing. I did not realize how sorry I was till after I got saved. And I mean, he just, at one point I don't know how you pray. I just figured God already knows. So I admit to him at times, look, Lord, I'm dumb. I know this. You know this, Lord. But just stopping and saying, Lord, I'm just absolutely amazed that you would have mercy on me. I mean, as I'd open up the Word of God and I'd see I had one issue after another, after another, after another. I thank God that I had a godly pastor along the way that he'd just get up and he'd preach the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God would begin dealing with the heart, taking the sword of the Spirit and, boy, I mean, just smiting my heart. And one issue after another began to be dealt with and it began to come down. But, you know, while God was trying to input some information into me, I had to be willing to receive that along the way. And not everybody will do that. Everybody's been in the church service where the preacher is preaching chapter and verse. You can put your finger on it, but, boy, I mean, the arms are crossed. No, sir. I will not receive it. You can't be a person of wisdom. You cannot have the blessings of God and have a spirit that says, Lord, I'm unwilling to be reproved. Because, you know, nobody likes to be told when they're wrong. I still don't like to be told when I'm wrong. But I found out God doesn't care what I think about. You know, he's pretty convinced he's God and I'm not. And so my job is to say, yes, Lord, and allow him to do his work of righteousness within me. So that requires something out of me. It requires that I receive instruction in humility. You know, Christian, one of the biggest hindrances that we have in our life is our pride. I use the illustration this morning, but Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5, God resisteth the proud. I used the illustration this morning when I was preaching for Brother Richard Hibner that, well, whenever I was in school, I can remember playing football, that they would have blocking sleds. And, right, it offered resistance. And the bigger the people were that stood on that, the more resistance it was. Well, you know, you get enough guys, you can push that sled. Push and push all you want. You're not going to move God. You're not going to change him. In fact, you'll find that he'll resist. He'll push actively back against. Boy, if I want grace, then I got to humble myself. And so, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I do know this. I want God for me and not against me. So I want to be in a position, Lord, where I want to learn the lesson the easy way. Years ago, before I'd even gotten saved, my dad, I probably broke his heart on a regular basis. But I remember one time, I was in his house, and I'd done something boneheaded yet again. I can remember my dad, he just shook his head. He looked at me and said, Chip, he said, when are you going to learn? He said, life is too short to learn every lesson the hard way. You know, as a Christian, I don't want to learn every lesson the hard way. I don't want to let things that God tries to teach me just be rejected because it strikes my pride. I want my pride to be killed. And I want to receive that which the Lord would have. We see that instruction that must be received. We see also that it must be remembered because he said there in verse number 5, he said, forget it not. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, we are forgetful creatures by nature. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's amazing. The things that I do not want to remember, they'll come up. I can remember my wife and I, we were down in Abilene, Texas, and we were walking with her sister through a mall there. And first of all, I repent in sackcloth and ashes for even going to a mall. I hate those places. But we're going through a mall, and we pass a clothing store, and it's got music that's blaring out of it. And the second I heard it, it took me right back to where I was. And the life that I lived whenever I was hearing those things. It's amazing how I can remember that stuff like that. Or remember things that mean absolutely nothing of any consequence. Every time that my wife and I, we watched some quiz shows, and I'm answering questions, and she goes, how do you know this useless stuff? I said, I don't know. I said, I don't question the gift. I just employ it. Boy, when I want to remember things that are vital and things that are important, you know what? I struggle. How many times do you find yourself, Christian, perhaps you decided, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be more diligent in my Bible reading. And you find that you get to the end of the chapter and you ask yourself this question, now, what exactly did I just read? Okay, I'm the only one. It's because your flesh does not want to receive the things of God. So there must be ways where we remember so that God might teach us and we can pass these things on down. He says, forget it not. So wisdom, it's a priority. Wisdom, number two, it is to be pursued. And then number three, wisdom is to preserve us. Look what he said in verse number six. Concerning our attitude towards this thing of godly wisdom, he said, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. There's a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, when you pursue godly wisdom, you seek to keep the wisdom that you've received, you'll find that, number one, it'll do some things in your life. First of all, it'll promote faithfulness in your life. The Bible says in verse number six, she, speaking of wisdom, shall keep thee. The wise tend to stay on the right track. Christian life, it is not always easy. If you've been saved for any length of time, you found out this, there is a constant battle in your life with the world and the flesh and the devil, and they do not take a day off and they do not call for a truce. There'll be times as a believer, depending on the season of life, you may struggle with discouragement. You may struggle with depression. You may struggle with despair. And I tell you what, it's in those times that pat answers don't really seem to work. Whenever someone just tells you to cheer up and get over it, and yet your heart is absolutely overwhelmed, you're needing a little bit more than just a standard answer. And yet godly wisdom will do something for you. It'll help keep you on an even keel so that you're not overwhelmed. Because there's going to be times when the waves of life are going to crash upon the bow of your ship. And those that have received godly wisdom are going to learn to sail those stormy seas and keep that keel even along the way, equipped to endure the challenge. You know, I don't know about you this evening, but I know this. I want to come out of the other side of this life having been found faithful, and I want to come out rejoicing. We've all met that believer that got saved in 1903, and they seem like they're still bitter about it to this very day. Well, that got quiet. I hope you're not that believer. I illustrate it this way. Some folks, I wonder if they got baptized in lemon juice. I mean, they're just got a sour disposition. I don't want to be that believer. I realize it. There's a time to be serious, but, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I want to be able to go through this life regardless of what's going on the outside. I can't change all of that. That's all situation and circumstance. It's beyond my control. But I can take care of what's going on in here. And I can take care of what's right here. And I can control those things that God has given me control of. And so if I employ godly wisdom, I can go through this life with a smile upon my face, regardless of if my world is falling apart. So wisdom, it'll promote faithfulness. It'll keep you encouraged. You know, I don't want to get to the day where the service of God is a drudgery. I've been preaching for a little over 20 years. I still get excited to walk into the pulpit. I still get excited to walk in and sing the songs of Zion. I still get excited to be able to see God work in hearts and lives. I don't ever want to get to the point where I think, well, Lord, I got to go to the house of God again. Amen. Wisdom, it promotes faithfulness. Secondly, wisdom prevents falling. Look in verse number 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You know, a person that's wise understands this. We live in very dangerous times. We live in an age of seduction and unparalleled access to sin. You know what a wise person does? They take it seriously and not lightly. One of the things a wise person does is they have a proper fear They fear failing. Can I tell you the greatest fear in my life? And please, I don't need a theologian to come up after church and say, "Now God has not given us the spirit of fear." I know. But I do know this. I've seen men fail and I've seen men fall. And I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to fail my wife. I don't want to fail my church. I want to be the husband God expects me to be. I want to be the pastor God expects me to be. And I know this much. The word of God is still very clear. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so that man or that woman that'll make wisdom their priority, you know what you'll be able to do along the way? You'll be able to spot danger when it approaches. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Look, a wise man has learned to be cautious and take some practical steps along the way. Back home when I'm preaching, I call it fence building. Because a good fence does two things. It keeps some things in that you want to keep in, and it keeps some things out that you want to keep out. And we're neighbors with this world right now, whether we like it or not. I remind you, we've not entered into glory yet. And good fences make for good neighbors. And so therefore, a wise man is going to be very cautious along the way. For example, in my own church that I have a personal standard with the way that I approach counseling, whether it's at an invitation or whether I get a phone call saying, "You know, preacher, I need to visit with you," that I absolutely refuse to counsel a woman by myself. My wife is right with me the entire time. You say, "Well, are you so weak?" I don't want to find out. Better men than me have failed. And so therefore, I know this. It's good to be cautious. It's wise to look for slippery places. Wisdom prevents from falling. Look what he said in verse 12. He said, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." And then finally, notice this, verse number 13. Wisdom, it produces fruit. The Bible says there in verse 13, "Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." You know, one of the identifiers of life is this, it's reproduction. Boy, a fruit tree that's alive, it produces fruit. And it is our hope and it is our desire to see that life is imparted into our churches. Well, I want to see life at Luke Fonda Baptist Church. I met your pastor for the first time yesterday, but I can guarantee you that his heart is that life is infused in Victory Baptist Church and in the people that God has given him. He wants to see growth in your life and in your spirit, to see that which God has planted within you to bloom out and to blossom. And so you should desire to produce as much fruit as God would allow you to produce, to grow as wise as God will allow you to grow, that you might influence as many people as God will allow you to influence. I kind of look at life this way. I don't want to just take up space. The man that was my pastor used to make this illustration. He said, "Your life is simply a dash between two numbers. What are you going to do with that dash?" I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Well, Lord, I just occupied a position." I want to be able to stand before my Savior and say, "Lord, I impacted a people. And Lord, by the grace of God, I was to them what they needed to be." But to do that, I've got to realize, number one, I don't have the answers, but I know who does. And I've got to be willing to receive within my own heart and life the reproofs of God, that I might in turn be able to instruct others. So early in life, I realized that at the end of his life, Solomon, he went off the deep end, which, by the way, that's a whole other message in itself about maintaining the things that God reveals, maintaining that wisdom that God gives. But well, early on, Solomon learned his need of wisdom, and he sought after it. And the counsel that he received from his father, David, is still the same counsel that he passed on to us. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Stand this evening. Our Father, we are grateful tonight for your mercy and for your truth and for your grace. I appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight to Victory Baptist Church, and it's been my desire, Lord, in no way to come behind and Lord, to hurt the ministry that has taken place here. I just simply want to be a help this evening. I want to be a blessing. And Lord, I just simply ask tonight that by your word that you would deal with hearts as you see fit. And God, that you'd have your own will and way in lives. And we'd walk out of here today rejoicing that, Father, you would speak to us still. And we'll thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name.